to be salt for God. But why salt? Well, salt was mentioned in the Old Testament. Doesn't want to go on. Could you move it on one? Yeah, your clicker was better, definitely. Maybe I'll have to revert to that. We'll see if it'll start working. So we see that in the Old Testament that God actually required salt to be part of the offerings. It's in the top reading there in Leviticus, Moses is telling the Israelites the laws for the grain offerings. He says, you shall season all your grain offerings with salt. You shall not let the salt of your covenant with God be missing from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. Salt was an important part of the offering because it represented purity. Purity of preservation and of expense. Every sacrifice offered to God should be pure, should be enduring, should cost us something. Salt spoke of friendship or deep relationships, and according to ancient customs, the bond of friendship was established through the eating of salt. Here we see in 2 Chronicles 13, don't you know that the Lord, the God of Israel, has given the kingship of Israel to David and his descendants forever by a covenant of salt? So it's very representative. So basically, it was said that once you'd eaten another man's salt, you were his friend for life. And God wanted every sacrifice to be a reminder of this. And it was a desired relationship of God with us. In the New Testament, one of the most well-known readings is the one that Lynn's already covered. And I've just presented a few different versions here because when I'm looking at readings, I quite like to look at the different available versions because sometimes the words can just resonate more clearly. So in the NIV, it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is it then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? In the Living Bible, it says, you are the world's seasoning to make it tolerable. If you lose your flavor, what will happen to the world? And you yourself will be thrown out and trampled underfoot and as worthless. And then the Message version, which uses everyday language, it says, let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and you'll end up in the garbage. So, looking across those, it's just reminding us that it's about the flavor that we bring into our life. It's meant to reflect God. If we just have a little diversion, because I am a biologist, scientist, you are salty. You have 0.4% of your body weight is sodium chloride, common salt. You've got other salts in there as well. But salt's a vital part of body chemistry, and it plays a key role in so many functions, from the quality of blood to transmission of nerve signals. Low salt can actually result in death. We need that balance to be right, and God's created us when we're healthy. I'm sure the doctors may correct me. But when we're healthy, we have a body that can regulate salts, in that if we have too much, we can excrete it out. But obviously we can't make the salt, so it's important that we keep our salt levels topped up. So why salt? Well, salt has a value. Salt brings seasoning. Salt's a preservative. It's also a catalyst. Salt can make reactions. Jesus is saying to his disciples and followers, you are the salt. I see you and God sees you as precious. You're valued. You are also what will preserve this world. You should be a preserving influence on your culture. That's what the church is called to be today. Without your godly influence, this world would be spoiled. Evil, disease, bacteria, whatever you may call it, would conquer. But because with God and his people being salt, we will preserve and bring goodness. So just a little look, the value, the cost. It's costly because we have to manufacture it from sea, or we have to mine it. And actually, it's so valuable that there was a time when, in the Roman times, Roman soldiers were paid in salt. That was their salary, which actually has the same root word. Now, today, I can't remember how much, there's probably under a pound from Aldi. And there's 3/4 of a kilo to this, but I've already used some. So there's about 1/2 a kilo in this, which is probably about what I've got in my body. Most of you will have a lot less. But the cost of this at under a pound, back in Jesus's day, would have cost around £1,500 equivalent. So that's a high, high cost. It also represented status back then. Rich people had salt cellars. And also more than wine cellars, although today may be different. And it did relate to friendship. So as I've said before, if you ate another man's salt, you were his friend for life. But also apparently, when they had these salt cellars, when you sat down for a meal, your status in their hearts or in their how important you were to them was shown by how close you were sat to the salt cellar. So if you were basically at the end of the table with the salt cellar behind it, you were the most important person to them at that table and probably in their lives. So also I'd said that it's a seasoning. At the moment, I have an almost 6-month-old grandson who's just started eating solid food. So now I'm having to be careful to cook food without added salt. And then if I forget to season it before I eat it, it's very bland. So it reminds me that actually seasoning's important. I don't know about you, but I quite like a bit of steak every now and again. And it's really good to season that before you cook it. It makes such a difference when you taste steak that hasn't been seasoned to steak that has, especially if you do it before to allow those flavours to be drawn out. And our seasoning, our impact, our salt is to draw out the flavours, not only from ourselves, but from other people around us. It's about our attitude in all circumstances. What flavour are you bringing to the room, to the friendships? To be godlike, Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit, I'm sure you'll remember, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the kind of impacts and flavours we take to the world that we can actually pour it out and be different. But also to encourage others, to draw the best flavour out of them. Not to be critical, but to be encouraging. We are called to be in the world and not of it. Not to get contaminated, but to be in it and add something to it. And it's good to think about that. I'm sure many of you will be able to think about people that you know who are Christians in your lives who really add flavour and value to your lives. the people who maybe influenced you before you were a believer. I myself noticed a young girl that used to work for me because she was so different. Work was stressful at times, and sometimes the meetings got a little bit heated, but she always brought calmness and got us to reflect and come to a good solution. And there was just something about her. She brought the best out in the people around her. She really was salt in those circumstances. And I noticed to a point that when she invited me to Alpha, I wanted to know more about what made her different. We're also called to not worship other gods, to keep our flavors purely centered on our one true God. And salt. I'm sure some of you have had a sore throat and have gargled with salt, because salt's actually good at killing bacteria. It's actually called aseptic, so basically it's just good at killing things, all sorts of microbes, viruses, because it sucks the moisture out, basically, because we know salt is very dry. So, and it's also been used over years, you know, the times when you don't have fridges, that meat used to get salted so that you could keep it, so that it could be transported to feed the sailors on the sea. And what it can't kill, it can stop the spread of. Like, if you put a nice ring of salt around your plant, the slug won't get there. And if you've ever put salt on a slug, it's quite an interesting, disgusting reaction. And if any of you have ever had your teeth out, I'm sure you had to gargle with salt. I also said that salt's a catalyst, so it forms chemical reaction. Like, if you add salt to your water, it increases the boiling point, so it'll cook your food faster. So it's very clever. But interestingly, if you add it to ice, it lowers the freezing point, which is why we can put it on the floor to melt the ice so that we can walk safely. It's good at melting solid objects. I also think the salt, the influence of God in our lives, is quite good at melting hard hearts too. That our words and the way that we deal with people can have a real impact. So there's a chemical reaction there when salt actually forms, because it's formed from a metal with an acid. And what you end up with is something very different. It's neither metal or acidic. And it's a bit like us. When we repent and have faith in Jesus Christ, there's a reaction. We become a new creation. That reaction doesn't happen if we just repent but don't have faith in Jesus. And it also doesn't happen if we believe in Jesus but don't repent, because we don't see that we are in need of repentance, in need of forgiveness for our sins. So actually, that's how we become salt for God. We repent and we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Saltiness can be lost. That's what it said in the verse. If a salt loses its flavor, how can it be restored? Well, how does it lose? If it's not stored well, if it's not looked after properly, if it's not kept in the right circumstances, I'm sure that you realize if you keep it near your cooking and it's not got a lid on it, it soon becomes damp and it can soon start to get contaminated. If we mix it with other things, like if we poured it on the floor to melt the ice and then it dries, we don't just brush it back up again and put it in our salt cellars and use it, because it'll be contaminated. It won't taste like salt anymore. It'll taste disgusting. Not that I've tried it. But the verse that I read from Matthew 13 talks about salt losing its flavor. So if salt's lost its taste, how can saltiness be restored? no longer good for anything, only good to be thrown out and trampled. Because back in Jesus' day, if their salt did lose their flavour or preserving qualities, they'd just throw it out in the streets and it would get trampled in the ground by passerby. Because again, Jesus is talking about something that people understand. They understand that it's valuable, and when it's no good, it's just rubbish and it's thrown out. There's also a warning in the Bible. Well, one or two. In Genesis, it tells us that if we are the salt but we lose our flavour, or better said, our influence, our actions, preserving qualities for the world, we're no longer of value to the kingdom of God. It might seem harsh, but this is God's warning. He's warning us. He wants us to live as people on a mission for him. The story of Lot's wife is a perfect example in Genesis 19. Earlier in 19, it says, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." And then a little later on, after Lot and his wife and daughters were leaving, it says, "But his wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt." Why salt? Well, she looked back, probably with a bit of regret, leaving her life of sin and decay with sorrow. She lost her preserving qualities and became one with the world. She was a warning to us. Jesus warns us not to be like Lot's wife. And again, it's mentioned in Luke 17:32, as he speaks of the coming kingdom. Remember Lot's wife? Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. We are to look forward to our deliverance and new life with Jesus and not back at the old life of sin and miss out. It says that Jesus came to give us life, that we would live it to the fullest. Well, we do that by not looking back, but looking forwards and walking with Jesus. We're not of the world, we're in the world. Just like a boat sits in the water. So if it's in the water, it can navigate the seas, it can move through the waters. But when water gets inside a boat, it will sink. And so it actually becomes inside the water. The water becomes part of it. And that's a bit like the analogy we can use about being in the world but not of it. If the more of the world we allow in us, the less effective we can become for Jesus, because we can actually end up sunk, basically. But if you're anything like me, I must admit, I'm constantly bailing out. I haven't let it all in, but the water still creeps in. And that's why we need one another to help us to stay afloat in this world. There's another passage in the Bible from Mark 9 that says, "For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourself and have peace with one another." To understand this verse, you really need to go back to the whole passage, because it's quite a harsh read. The passage before talks about temptation of sin and warning from Jesus to stay away from sin. This states that everyone will be salted with fire. And what does that mean? Well, it means a lot, but if we simplify it, most believe it to mean that the fire represents trials and tribulations in life. So we as God's people will be salted or given trials in our lives. I'm sure there are many of you who have gone through or are going through that right now. And it's those trials that we seem, in those trials that we seem to grow in faith the most. Because if we give it all to God, and reach a deeper relationship with him, then at least we can get peace. So if you are going through tough times right now, take comfort that God is with you and he's given you a church of believers to walk through this time together. Remember in the Psalm 23, where it talks about the Lord being our shepherd. But I like the bit where it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because we're part of God's flock. He doesn't take us through that valley on our own. He never leaves us. He has his rod and staff to comfort and protect us. But I believe we walk through those valleys as a flock, so you're not on your own. We can carry each other through this valley, and it's the shadow of death, not death itself, because we're just walking one another at home. So how do we keep our flavor? How do we maintain and keep the salt? Well, I like acronyms, so I put one up here. Maybe you could sit and do something like this for yourself and do a Bible study. But for S, I chose serve, and serve always, both inside and outside the church, because it's how we serve one another, how we influence one another's life, how we bring our flavor to them, both those who know the Lord and those who don't. For A, I put accountability, or ask for help. Sometimes there are things in our lives that we wish we didn't do, that we wish we didn't carry. And we need other people to come and ask us those difficult questions of how we've been. Have we been doing things that we shouldn't be doing? Are we treating our spouses in the right way? Are we respecting our families? Are we being honest in our daily work? We have to trust one another, think wisely, but maybe if you don't have someone you can be accountable to, maybe it's something you could think about and ask Jesus to bring someone into your life. L, to love like Jesus. And again, both inside and outside the church. Because our saltiness, when poured out as it's been poured into us by Jesus, really can melt hearts and soften them to the gospel and bring people into the kingdom. And T, to tell others. You could also use teaching, because I think we should all be teachable. We should all be disciples. So we're being discipled whilst discipling one another. Because it's not easy, this walk with Jesus, because the world pulls us in so many directions. In Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, it says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So the goal is to bring out the best in others in conversation, not to put them down and not to put them out. So this is just a suggestion that how we can keep on top of being salty. Obviously, meeting up, listening to the word, listening to teaching, reading the Bible for ourselves, talking about God, sharing what he's doing in our lives, keeping one another on that straight and narrow path when times get difficult, and loving one another deeply and wholly. The bottom line is, salt that we're talking about today is symbolic. It shows the relationship God wanted with his people and how God wanted his people to preserve, to be the preservative of the earth today. As a church, our influence should be one of good flavor, should bring out the best in the world. Yes, to some people, the taste of salt will be death, just as we know the gospel will not always be received well. But rather than let the world influence the church, we need to take our influence out there. We need to spread our salt. We need to push back the boundaries of evil and things that are against God, and spread and season the world to the best of our advantage. Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this symbol of salt. We thank you that salt in itself has so many properties, and so many properties that we can see we need to have in our lives and in our ways as we interact with one another and as we interact with the world. Lord, as we sit here and think about our flavours, the flavours we bring to our friendships, our family, our loved ones, the people we work with, our communities, help us to be the right flavour at that time. Help us to stay strong, to stay effective for you, to preserve what is good and destroy what is evil. Let us not be overcome, Lord. Let us not be contaminated. Let us stay strong in the properties which you have given us. And Lord, as we've been thinking today on this, if there are people here today who need accountability, would you bring someone into their lives they can trust, but someone who can be a strong accountability partner? Would you show us how to be better? Would you bring people alongside us to walk through the hard times, to speak life into our lives, to speak truth, no matter how harsh that may be at times, but always, always with love and acceptance? Lord, we thank you that you reject no one that steps forward to accept you, that steps forward with a repentant heart for the sin that we have committed, but that you have given us Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, so that we don't have to, that he has defeated sin once and for all. Help us, Lord, to walk more holy as we walk home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.